Yeah, he was saying things like what you've been telling me. Father Ray said that Grotek was respected by Freud and was a real revolutionary. Apparently, Grotek had come to the conclusion that brains and bodies are actually made by the mind, rather than the other way around, and that the mind, which was described as a force that Grotek called the it, was doing this for its own purposes.
Close enough, dear student. You have a memory like a steel trap. And Dr. Grotek was correct about his conclusions, even though he certainly didn't have the whole picture like Jay did. By the way, unlike most of the apostles and the early founders of Christianity, Dr. Grotek didn't assume or pretend that he knew everything. He only said what he did know, but he was still light years ahead of his brain-worshipping successors. It's almost needless to say that because of Grotek's views, the world kept its distance from him. We mention him now, and will again later, merely to point out that there have always been brilliant people whose level of observation was much more in line with the truth than the thinking of the world is.
My other question. You're appearing to me rather than someone more appropriate because...
Well, we already told you the last time, but the explanation was too simple for you. We are here because it's helpful for us to appear right now, and that's really all you need to know.
From what you said, I'm not sure what my role is in your appearance. Is my mind projecting you, or is it just your mind?
The question is misplaced because there is only one mind. Eventually, the question becomes one of purpose. But there are different illusory levels of thinking and resulting experience, and we'll come back to that subject eventually.
You know I have to ask which two saints you were.
Yes, it's only fair that we tell you, but we're not going to dwell on it. We would much rather spend our visits clarifying Jay's role and teachings for you, rather than wasting time attempting to clarify our own rather insignificant roles. We want you to learn, and you're going to have to trust that we know best what to tell you in order to help facilitate that learning. As a matter of record, I was Thomas, usually referred to as Saint Thomas, and author of part of that now famous Gospel of Thomas. You should also know up front that the Coptic language version of that gospel, discovered near Neg Hammadi in Egypt, was a derivative version and contained some sayings that Jay didn't say, and that I never had in the original. I will briefly discuss this gospel with you soon, but as I said, we're not going to dwell on it. I never got to finish it anyway. I would have put the prodigal son parable last, but I couldn't because I was killed.
Life's a bitch, isn't it?
Well, that's a matter of interpretation. And by the way, I'm going to assume that you're sophisticated enough to understand it's not unusual to be male in some lifetimes and female in other lifetimes.
I can fathom it. How about you, Arden? You're not going to tell me you were the Virgin Mary.
No, but she was a wonderful woman. I probably wasn't famous enough to impress you. That's fine with me. I was Thaddeus, although my given name was Labias, and Jay renamed me Thaddeus. I was humble and quiet, and I was a good learner. The churches call me Saint Thaddeus, as well as Saint Judas of James, not to be confused with Judas Iscariot. I didn't have to do very much to earn the distinction of sainthood. Some people think I wrote the Epistle of Jude. I didn't. I formed a sect with Thomas and visited Persia, but I did not play a role in the martyrdom fad, as some people believe. I was just in the right place at the right time to be sainted.
You lucky bum. Do you have any jobs like that for me, Thaddeus?
Yes. You're doing it right now. Do you want us to continue teaching you?
Yes, but mainly because I found myself thinking differently about God since the last time you were here. I feel like I can trust him more. Like maybe he doesn't have anything against me, and he's not responsible for any of my problems and suffering, past or present.
Very good, my brother. Very good.
But just so I'm clear, you're not saying that God didn't create some of the universe. You're saying he doesn't have anything to do with any of it, and that the whole Genesis story of creation is bogus?
Very well. We'll take care of old business first. It's not our purpose to put anybody down, although it always offends people when you don't buy into their beliefs. As we've already implied, we simply agree to disagree with the teachings of others. It should be very clear to anyone that one of the most important aspects of the old scripture is the law and the punishment of anyone who doesn't follow the letter of it. Although the real purpose of this crime and punishment cycle is not what you think, there is still nothing wrong with establishing laws in an attempt to have an orderly society. 2,000 years ago, the old scripture was very dear to Thomas and I, but we had already begun to realize that just as with your present-day legal system, the law eventually becomes all about the law and nothing about justice. Aside from the awful, threatening passages, there are also some very beautiful and profound passages in the old scripture we could agree with to this very day. If you go back to the creation story of Genesis, however, you encounter a very serious problem that good-thinking people of many faiths have struggled with ever since the story was first heard, even before it was scripture. As the story goes, God created the world and saw that it was good.
He writes his own reviews.
So God goes on and creates Adam, and then gets him a date, Eve. Life is paradise, but God gives them this one rule. Do anything you want, kids. Knock yourselves out. But don't you dare eat the fruit from that tree of knowledge over there. So the serpent does its thing. Eve takes a bite and tempts Adam just so you can blame women for everything. And then Adam takes a bite. Now there's hell to pay. Big angry Maker kicks Adam and Eve out of paradise. He even tells Eve that she's going to suffer terrible pain during childbirth just for good measure. That'll teach her. But wait just a minute here. If God is God, wouldn't he be perfect? And if he is perfect, then wouldn't he know everything? Even today's parents know that the surest way to get children to do something is to tell them they can't. So if God is God and he knows everything, then what has he done here?
Well, apparently God has set up his own children to fail just so he can have the pleasure of ruthlessly punishing them for a scenario which he himself set into motion.
It sure looks that way, doesn't it? But would God do this? If you had a child, would you do that? How could you possibly trust a God like that? Nowadays, he'd be accused of child abuse. So what's the truth? The answer should be obvious to anyone who is willing to take the blinders off. God would not do this. He is not an idiot. The story of Genesis is the symbolic story of the making of the world and bodies by the unconscious mind for reasons you are not aware of, but which you must become aware of.
So, from this, and what you told me earlier, I gather Jay didn't subscribe to some of the Jurassic thinking of Genesis, as well as much of the old scripture. And he was really teaching something more original that most people couldn't grasp, so they substituted their own beliefs.
Yes. Jay would usually ignore scripture that had little basis in truth, but offer the correct interpretation of scripture that did have some basis in truth. He was definitely not into the hell, fire, and damnation routine. That was John the Baptist. But John had his quieter moments, too. It was he who said, "Love your enemies," not Jay. Jay wouldn't have had any concept of an enemy. People don't realize that John was far more famous than Jay was in their lifetimes. John had what the crowd really wanted. That is the way of success in the world, no matter what your job, supply and demand. You can be successful if you have something that people want. You have no idea how uninspired it is that people, including your spiritual leaders, are always trying to spiritualize abundance in the world. How much success or money you get has nothing whatsoever to do with how spiritually enlightened you are. They are like apples and oranges. That loaves and fishes story was supposed to be symbolic. It didn't actually happen. It meant that there is a way for you to receive guidance as to how you should proceed in the world, and we'll cover that. But stop trying to spiritualize money. There's nothing wrong with money or success, but there's also nothing spiritual about them either. And while we're at it, please don't listen to that incredible interpretation the church has put on the sayings of Jay, that you should render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and render unto God that which is God's. The churches use that saying to try and raise money. But Jay wasn't talking about money. He was saying this, "Let Caesar have the things of the world, for they are nothing, and let God have your spirit, for it is everything." He was a wisdom teacher of pure love and truth. A lot of people think that both John and Jay were members of the Essenes. Now, it's true they were both visitors to and friends with the Essenes at times, but they were never members of the sect. They were both travelers. Jay eventually fell out of favor with the Essenes. They had loved John because he respected their laws and beliefs, but they ended up hating Jay because he saw no need to bow down to their precious rules. Very few tears were shed at Qumran when the news of Jay's death was heard. And 35 years later, most of the Essenes went over to Jerusalem to fight against the Romans in the revolt. Like many, they saw it as the apocalypse. You know, the sons of light against the sons of darkness and all that nonsense. It was a total disaster. In the end, the Essenes lived by the sword and they died by the sword. Today, you try to make them and the Dead Sea Scrolls into something special, just as you try to make so many people from the past into great spiritual masters when they weren't. They were people like you. Some in your generation think that the Mayans vibrated off the planet in a state of spiritual enlightenment. And what makes you think they were enlightened? They practiced human sacrifice. How enlightened do you think that was? They were just people like the Essenes, and like the Europeans, like the American Indians, and like you. Accept that and move on.